Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favourite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new Book Trivia Podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Three Fates Decide. My name is Liz, and I'm with my two co-hosts, Sam and Mary. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay. And this time, we will be discussing the recent and the recent strikes by the Writers Guild of America and now SAG-AFTRA. At the time that we are recording this episode, the SAG strike started last week. By the time you hear this episode, the strike may or may not still be continuing, but, you know, we're going to talk about as the most recent info we've got, as far as we know at this time.
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right, so this week we are going to be talking about...
But just when you least expect it, we changed the game.
One Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
I mean, we always celebrated Easter.
You're part of the Half-Blood Prince.
So we're going to do another free talk, freestyle thing, no planned discussion.
At the end of the day, only one thing matters. We decide.
We're going to hit the main highlights.
That is the thing that we were saying back in that episode.
Quick recap.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
So, I think the Writers Guild strike, wasn't it in May it got started?
Yeah, it's been about 3 months. All right, so May 2nd.
Yeah, so WGA started their strike on May 2nd. Like, I don't remember what all their demands were.
It was working conditions, compensation structure, and threats to their jobs, obviously including AI. I know, like, the AI and stuff like that, it is a mixture of both. I know that's become more of a forefront with SAG in terms of actors, but I know writers were definitely, you know, dealing with that too, because obviously AI can write scripts, you know, fairly quickly. But yeah, the writers, I think their biggest thing is definitely payment. And a lot of the issues, both with WGA and SAG, come from the streaming stuff. You know, this is a whole different world. Streaming has become so popular. I mean, I know I am on like 5 different streaming sites to watch this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, first it started with the writers, that these writers weren't getting paid nearly enough. Like, they couldn't pay their mortgage. They could barely even put food on the table. Like, this is their full-time job and they weren't even making ends meet. Because of streaming.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think about it though, even before streaming kind of blew up in the last like 10 years or so, if we want to be generous here, like saying 10 years, like let's say, writers, screenwriters can, like, how much they earn kind of varies, if I recall, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you have more of the background in screenwriting than I do, but it's like, you know, if you get really lucky, you sell your screenplay, but then, you know, it's going to get changed like a few dozen times before it actually gets put on film, to the point where, like, you barely recognize your script.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the biggest thing for the WGA, which is the Writers Guild of America, in case we didn't mention that, obviously, besides the fact that they couldn't come up with a new contract between them and the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Producers, which is the AMPTP, is definitely the compensation for writers via residuals with streaming. So this is all stemming from streaming, and pretty much both WGA and SAG-AFTRA want to come up with a new way that both writers and actors, and I'm not talking about your A-list actors, your, you know, leads and all that stuff, they get paid very, very well, but they're striking along with everyone else, obviously, to help the little guys who aren't getting what they deserve. And, you know, they need to come up with a way that these people are getting paid for streaming. I mean, I'm telling you, it's crazy ever since this happened. And it's more since, again, SAG-AFTRA joined the strike that, you know, actors have been posting their residuals for their shows.
Yeah.
I'm talking cents per episode or nothing at all for an episode. There's literally several of them that get $0 for a certain episode, or 3 cents, 4 cents, 7 cents. Like, for an entire series, I was looking, one of the actresses from Orange is the New Black. Now, that series has a lot of actors in it. And this was a pretty prominent character for a season where she was literally in every single episode of Orange is the New Black. Her residuals were like $33 for the season. $33. Like, are you kidding? Like, that's just not right. And these big production companies, your Netflix, your, you know, Paramount, you know, Universal, all the, are make, like, these CEOs are making, Disney, they're making bank. They are making, and, like, I know, like, you know, Netflix likes to say, oh, we're losing money, which is why they're, you know, wanting to stick it to the clients. You know, now you can't share your passwords and all that crap. But, like, these CEOs are not going poor. Netflix, I think, has 2 CEOs, and they just give each other bonuses. And they are literally making hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars a year. And they sit there and they wonder why these actors and writers are now striking while they're living in their ivory towers. I would love to make $30,000 in like a month.
But I know, right? Like,
when you hear that these they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and yet the actors that are actually doing the work to make them that money are getting $33 for residuals for an entire season, not just an episode, an entire season. That's wrong. And again, I get it. Streaming kind of came up and like boomed with COVID, so they didn't really think about it, but now they have to. And unfortunately, a lot of these CEOs and production companies don't want to deal with it. I don't even remember who it was. Oh my God, who was it that
Scarlett Johansson was.
Well, yeah, that was the beginning of it. That was the beginning of it with her and Disney. That actually was what I think started the conversation. Yeah. Was when Disney tried to screw Scarlett over with Black Widow, and she wound up winning that fight.
Thankfully. Right. I mean, yeah, because. And I remember at the time, there were a lot of people that were like, you know, kind of scoffing at it because, like, you know, she's an A-list actor. Like, why is, you know, oh, just because she doesn't get like an extra like $2 million or whatever. There was a lot of snark about that. But I mean, you know, obviously up front, it is about the money for her, right? But at the same time, whether she was consciously or not consciously doing this, she was also kind of preparing people to fight for residuals, for, not just for her, but like for every actor out there. Because if someone like her, who is an A-list actor, is going to get screwed over, basically, out of being compensated for the work she did, you know, bringing, you know, the eyeballs, you know, to this movie for Disney, what do you think they're going to do to, you know, prison guard number 2, you know, in this show or in this movie, you know?
Right.
So.
Right. And I think part of the other issue, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Dwayne The Rock Johnson had had a movie, I think it was like Jungle Cruise or something, coming out around the same, and they worked with him to make sure his contract was taken care of, that he was getting paid, but not for Scarlett. So I think that was also like the other thing, but like, you know, it's, that was definitely the beginning of, I think everyone was like, everyone, at least in Hollywood, writers, actors, whatever, started like looking like, wait a minute, like something's not right here. And again, with no one knew that I think streaming was going to go as far as it did, you know?
Right.
But people don't go to the theaters anymore, really. I mean, they do, but they don't. But like this past weekend, again, as we're recording this, this past weekend was the opening for Barbie and Oppenheimer. It was the biggest weekend of the year for movies. This is the end of July, and this was the biggest weekend for movies all year, because people aren't going anymore. People sit there and go, I'm going to wait until it goes on streaming. Yeah. Because then they don't have to pay extra money. So it's like, you know, and yes, with Black Widow, Disney Plus did make you pay an additional whatever in order to watch it, like when it came out. But you could have a party of 20 something people, only one person pays the $20 whatever, and then 20 plus people can watch the movie together. So it's like, you know, like back in the day before streaming, writers and actors and, you know, studios and all that stuff make a movie, they have a budget, they make a movie, goes into the movie theaters, based on the box office, people get paid. It was simple, it was easy. Streaming has completely taken that away. Taken that away, where now box offices are making less money and these streaming companies are making, you know, whatever when they put the movie on. But the people that worked on the movie, the actors and the writers and whatever, aren't getting their cut. Where, I mean, it kind of reminds me, there's also a thing going around with like Spotify, where musicians aren't getting paid for their music that is streaming on like Spotify.
Right.
You know, so, because it's like where before you get, you sell a, you know, a CD or whatever, and they get a cut of that sale. So they have to come up with something. And this is for all streaming, whether it's music, movies, TV, what have you, something needs to happen. And these big production companies just don't want to do anything because they're making the money, so they don't care.
Yeah.
So, and yeah. I can't remember which CEO it was, but one of the CEOs made mention with the writer's strike that, you know, wait until they can't, you know, pay their mortgage or whatever, and then they'll come and beg, you know, for whatever, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you know, like you're such an asshole. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was either.
It might have been one of the Netflix CEOs, honestly. But yeah, it's just like, it's so disgusting. Yeah. So disgusting.
And the funny thing is that there are actually a lot of people commenting on the actor strike, especially some of whom do actually understand what, you know, why they're striking, and they fully support. And then there are other people who like are like, you know, I don't give, like, you know, who the hell are these people complaining about blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, it reminds me like very recently because of the strike happening. Unfortunately, I can't remember his name, but there was an actor who was one of the cast members in Iron Fist, which for some of you guys, if you don't remember or you never watched the show, it was one of the, it was originally a Netflix Marvel TV collaboration, and now it's available on Disney Plus as part of the Defenders, you know, join up later. But anyway, one of the cast members mentioned that he actually only got paid about $400 a day, which, granted, you know, sounds like a lot. And for some people, that is, you know, a lot, depending on, you know, what job you do and what part of the country in the US you live in.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who don't understand how acting, you know, professional acting works, that $400 a day is literally, in theory, what you are getting when you're actually on set, when it's in production. Once the production is over, you are not getting that $400 a day anymore.
Right.
So it's like, unless you or your agent are really good and got you booked for another gig, you know, the following month or whatever after this production is over, you're gonna have to go without being paid very much, you know. And it's like, how do you live off of that?
Right. I mean, you know, again, with these strikes, you're not talking about your A-list celebrities who make bank, right? You know, your Leonardo DiCaprio's and, you know, Meryl Streep's and stuff like that, you know, because obviously, like, they're good. But again, they join for the little guy or whatever. But even these, this guy, you know, or your B-list actors, obviously C-list, D-list, you know, the guys that are just background actors, you know, stuff like that. They're the ones that really get screwed because, as you said, they get paid when they're filming and then it's gone. And then you go based off of how much it makes. Well, when it's streaming, you don't really, they're not able to come up with a way to get them paid. And actors work, you know, get paid. So you think of like working paycheck to paycheck, right? These people in I want to say the real world, right. work paycheck to paycheck. If you think about it, a lot of those actors and writers work paycheck to paycheck, where they finish a job and they need to hurry up and find something else. And for them, they can audition or whatever and not get signed for months. That's why a lot of them, you know, again, the lower level actors or whatever have those part-time jobs as waiters and stuff like that because they need money. Until you're able to get big enough jobs that you have like a little nest egg that you can take a little break in between, like you really are working paycheck to paycheck. And that's what that's who the strike is really for, is for those people who suffer because they aren't making any money off of the work that they do, even though they work months on these projects for ridiculous hours.
Right. So it's
the day.
Like, right.
And
right. So like that example, I was like saying about like, oh, I got paid $400 a day. Well, it's like, if you think that's a lot of money, you're thinking from the perspective of like an 8-hour workday. An 8-hour workday, $400 is, yeah, sure, it is pretty good amount of money, right? But
right, exactly.
But if you're an actor on set, you know, you could be working 12 hours. You may even be technically on set for 15 hours if you have to do like prosthetics and all this like makeup and costuming and everything. I mean, you imagine how many hours like Karen Gillan had to be when she does Nebula, or you know, or any of these actors that have to like go full on makeup or prosthetics.
Bautista. Dave Bautista.
Yeah, him too. Dave. I mean, they have to be on set even earlier than some of their castmates, all because of that. You know, and, you know, technically they are working for that, whatever, $100 something, you know, a day for that, you know. So it's not really $50 an hour you're getting paid. It probably is closer to like, you know, minimum wage at that point.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, SAG-AFTRA initially, they were just, you know, they were obviously standing with the WGA. And then when it finally got to the point that like they couldn't get their issues straightened out, they went, you know, and started to strike also as of July 14th. So today it's been just about over a week. I guess almost 2 weeks since the SAG after strike started. And yeah, I mean, again, by the time this comes out, I would love for it to be, you know, straightened out, but I highly doubt it because I feel like it's just too much. But, you know, it really affects everything. I mean, just the WGA strike affected everything. You got to think about when this happened. This was May 2nd. So, you know, anyone who had, you know, even like the nighttime shows, like the Jimmy Fallon's and all that stuff, they had to stop. They had to stop their show because they don't have writers. Any show that, you know, was being written, you know, like Stranger Things and, you know, all that stuff stopped, done.
Right.
Movies that were in the process of being written stopped, done, you know. And now that SAG-AFTRA has struck, anything that was done that still had the possibility to at least start shooting or was almost done and could at least start shooting is done. So there's going to be, after this, and I think that might be one of the reasons why this past weekend was so big. After this, there's not much coming. You know? So this, I mean, this has happened before where the, you know, strikes have gone on for a long time. Hollywood, honestly, I don't think can afford it because they are still trying to figure out life after COVID shutdown. They haven't come back from that completely. So now to have this on top of it, it's just going to like, whew. But, you know, they do have solid complaints. You know, as I mentioned about the writers, their biggest thing obviously was the compensation for residuals, 100%. Plus their working locations are, you know, like they want better, you know, writers' rooms for like TV shows. And, you know, obviously AI is a huge thing for both WGA and SAG-AFTRA because that is a real, like AI is scary. Like, I feel like we need to do an episode on the possibilities of AI one day because like, I feel like iRobot is going to come to fruition.
I know.
One of these days. But, you know, I don't know whether they have started using AI for stuff in terms of actors in the background and things like that. But it's just, you know, you're going to use an actor's likeness and they're not going to get paid for it. So it's going to be like they're in your movie, but they're not going to get paid because it wasn't really them. Like, that's messed up that you feel like you can do that. You know, you're going to write scripts and I just don't. You're going to put people out of work. And for what? So that you can get things faster. Like, sometimes when things are faster, they're not better. So, you know. But yeah,
cough, Marvel Cinematic Universe, cough.
Yes, seriously, the last couple of years of the MCU, like, hello. yeah, seriously. But so the streaming residual thing is definitely up there. The AI thing, definitely up there. And then for also SAG, they want greater regulations for self-tape auditions.
Yeah, I don't even know why they're still doing that. Because, okay, when we were still having when the pandemic was really bad, that you can understand why they do the auditions that way, right? But it's like now people are moving out and about a hell of a lot more than they did even 2 years ago. So it's like, why do you need to do auditions that way now? I mean, and also I completely understand if, like, let's say you want to audition actors from another country and you don't want to fly them over specifically to do an audition, like, you know, you would have done like 5 years ago. But I mean, seriously, why do you need to have every single actor? You know, like, why do you need actors like like if you were trying to cast, you know, an American TV show or an American movie, like, why do you need American actors to have to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But the I think the two biggest things for both are definitely the residuals for streaming and the AI, which both totally valid. Again, 100% totally valid things to be concerned about and want solutions for. Yep. You know, I can totally understand that. And if you haven't had a chance, you can YouTube when SAG did announce that it was going on strike.
Fran Drescher, the president
of SAG-AFTRA, made a amazing speech about it. She got so emotional.
Yeah, Fran Drescher.
Like, the decision that was taken lightly. You know, like, they really considered, I mean, this was something that had been talked about, you know, and they were trying, and then they finally were just like, that's it. You're done. You know, like, now we have to do this. And you could just hear the frustration when she was talking. I thought it was a very powerful thing. So I suggest you go on YouTube and look it up, because it was pretty awesome. If I do say so myself.
Well, I mean, if I find the link, I could actually put it in the show notes on our website when we release this episode.
Mm.
Yeah, that is actually what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to include any bonus stuff in the show notes on our website that are relevant to whatever our episodes are about. So, yeah, I'll be including that on the website. That's another reason why you guys should visit it. But yeah, I mean, more people should honestly be sympathizing with the strikers, because who is not frustrated with their jobs and their what they're getting paid and whatever benefits or lack of benefits you're getting, you know? Because I don't know about you, Sam, you know, going on social media, like, seeing what people are saying about this whole situation, but I've definitely seen, like, a good portion of people definitely agree that all these things are completely ridiculous, and, you know, the producers and the studios need to get over themselves and go back to the negotiation table and offer some real stuff, you know, to the unions, like something real, something that's actually, you know, something that both the unions would accept, you know, as terms in new contracts. But, you know, there are still some people who, like I mentioned earlier, are very skeptical and are like, you know, why are these people like protesting? And it's like, you know, you're thinking of doing these jobs like the way a lot of other people have salaried jobs, you know, the 9 to 5, 5 days a week type of mentality. But that is not what these people are doing. When you think about it, conceptually speaking, what these jobs are, they're contract labor is what it is. It's contract labor. It's not salaried labor where, mm-hmm. you know, where you automatically get like 401ks and, you know, health insurance and, you know, vacation PTO type right. stuff. You know, that is not what these people are getting. In fact, actually, I remember, you know, when Ki-hee Kwan, you know, was doing all the interviews for Everything Everywhere All at Once, he actually did mention on a couple occasions that, you know, he lost his health insurance, you know, before he got booked for that movie. Because if you're not like an active member of the union and everything, you eventually lose your health insurance. And, you know, God forbid something happens to you, you know, health wise, you know, you're screwed basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why like some of these like naysayers really need to do some reading and actually understand what the heck these people are fighting for, and understand that no, that $400 a day is not as much money as you think it actually is. I mean, for some actors, you know, this $400 a day they're getting for like, you know, 2 months of filming could be the biggest paycheck they're getting the whole year, unfortunately, in some cases. And that's completely ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think the problem is that most people, when they think of Hollywood, they think of, you know, that those A-list stars that live in monster mansions and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But again, that's not who this strike is for. It's not who this strike is for. You got to look past any A-list anything and look beyond that. That's who this strike is for. It's for all the little people that bust their butt to make sure that, you know, we get our movies and, you know, completely, you know, full of talented, you know, actors or whatever, you know, all these talented actors that bust their butt for weeks, months, whatever, and don't get the same recognition as your A-listers, that, you know, the writers who bust their butt to write these amazing movies, TV shows that we all come to love, get the recognition and the money that they are due. Like, that's who this is for. It's for those people that don't get the same recognition or pay as those A-list stars do, because they're not up to that level, or they're not at, you know, they're not number one on the call sheet and this, that, and the other thing. Like, that's who you're fight. That's who they're all fighting for. And I love, the thing I love about with this strike is it, whether or not they wanted to, and I think most of them get it. So like, I don't see any A-listers necessarily having a problem with it, but it forces them to fight for those little guys, you know, because I mean, they can't work either. I actually just found the list of everything that for the SAG, if you're in part of SAG-AFTRA, you cannot do as a result of this.
Yeah. It's amazing. Even stuff like, appearing on podcasts like our show. Not that we ever have anybody else.
Well,
like that
only
on our show.
If it's only if you're promoting,
right?
Like, they can go on like podcasts, they just can't promote anything,
right? But you know, still, also, it even includes conventions, which very notably, a lot of people, a lot of actors did not show up at San Diego Comic-Con, which just happened this past weekend.
Which is usually the biggest one.
Yeah. I mean, I will, I can't lie. Since I'm going to go to New York Comic Con, I'm also a bit worried how long this is going to get dragged out, because, not because I'm, because I 100% support the actors doing this, because they're fighting for their rights. They're fighting for their livelihoods. And I 100%, you know, understand that, you know, but at the same, and at, however, at the same time, like, I am very much aware that even though Comic-Con's not until October, it's like, all right, how long are these jerks, you know, at the studios going to drag this out, you know? So, because, you know, conventions, convention appearances do count as, like, promotional things, which is 9 times out of 10 the reason why actors, celebrities like that, show up in the first place. So yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah. I mean, they can't go to any premieres or screenings, and it just happened that when the strike happened, the cast of Oppenheimer were in England, for the premiere.
Yeah.
And they left. They were there. They got word that the strike was happening and they left.
Yeah, as soon as they were done on walking the red carpet, it got announced, and they were like, okay, we have to leave.
Yep.
You know, all these A-listers, they left.
Gotta go.
Yeah, because, you know, they are part of this union, and they are being solidarity with all the other actors who are not as fortunate as them. And they're very cognizant of this fact.
Yep.
Yeah.
So once, you know, this goes on a little longer and hopefully ends, I'm sure we'll do another episode to kind of talk about the outcome of this. Hopefully, crossing our fingers, toes, eyes, whatever, you can cross that. It doesn't last too long, but with the way that the studios are acting, I don't see this ending in the near future. As of the end of July, I do not see this ending. Anytime soon.
Not unless,
We'll see.
Yeah, I know. Not unless, something really drastic happens and it forces them to go back to the negotiating table.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I do 100% agree with both WGA and SAG-AFTRA that, their concerns are 100% valid and need to be taken care of. Again, it's a different world than what their contracts were, because when those contracts were made, streaming wasn't a thing. Streaming is now not only just a thing, it's a huge thing. It's the main way people see TV, movies, whatever. So they have to come up with a way that these people who deserve to get their money get paid through streaming. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm glad it's not my job to figure that out. Right. But they have to do something. And then especially with AI, because that just creeps me out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Have
you seen the AI on TikTok?
Yes, it creeps me out.
Yeah. It's like, good Lord.
I'm telling you, iRobot. It's going to happen.
All these deep fake things. I mean, it's like, for crying out loud.
Yep.
Really bizarre. Yeah. I mean, again, with the social media response, I've seen some comments where people are like, well, if they're not getting paid enough, why are they still doing, these jobs? It's like, why don't you try asking, people that work at the supermarket, why aren't they working at a different job if, they don't like the pay or whatever? Why don't you go ask? Right. You go ask that to any person who ends up doing a minimum wage job out there, why they don't change jobs,
They love what they're doing, they love to act or write or whatever, that's their passion. Some of them went to school for this.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they don't they should just ignore the fact that they're being paid crap.
Right. I mean, and not to mention, it's to be honest, if you are extremely talented at let's say acting as an example here, if you weren't acting, what would you even do? I mean, for some people, they legitimately will tell you that, no, my thing was always acting. I never had any other goals, career goals or anything other than I wanted to be an actor. So they have nothing else.
Right.
So it's like, what alternative do you expect them to be doing exactly?
Right.
Because it's even professional athletes, already know going into, sports, know that their careers as a professional athlete could end at any time. So they usually, if they're smart, they have some kind of backup plan to what they would do, after they ideally quit because they're retiring and not some other reason,
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, if you are if your goal since you were young was to be the next Steven Spielberg or something, what other alternative do you have if you don't achieve it or whatever? For some people, they don't have any other plans. It's like go home or go bust kind of a thing. It's like those kind of comments annoy the hell out of me when I've seen them.
Yeah. Again, it's people who, when they think of, this, they only think of the high paying actors that they see in, the movies or whatever. Like, you got to stop focusing on them. You got to think about everyone else. You got to think about everyone else. Because they work just as hard or sometimes even harder.
Yeah.
And And listen, they understand, you know, because, you know, I also heard things of like, oh, they're not considering the crew and this, you know, now they're out of jobs. And trust me, I can promise you that was a consideration. But I guarantee that the crews are behind them as well. Like, they're standing in solidarity with them because they get it. You know, like, yes, does it stink that people now cannot work as a result? Yes, but you're blaming the wrong people. You know, exactly. Now listen, I've never been a huge union person. Unions have pros and cons, obviously. But like, I get it. I 100% get it in this case, because the wrong people are getting screwed over by the big guy. You know, I mean, and maybe it's just because I watch Newsies like last week, and like now I'm all like, yeah, fight them, yeah. But it's like, you know, like that's what you need to do. You need to go after the big guys that think that they can do whatever the heck they want. And it doesn't matter because it doesn't affect them directly. They're still getting their money off of these TV shows, movies, whatever. So whatever, who the heck cares? They don't care that everyone else is like, please, sir, I want some more because I can barely afford what I have. Like, right. There's no reason why these writers, you know, can't afford their homes or to put food on the table for their family. Like, that should be a basic, like, that shouldn't be difficult, that they should be able to live off of their work.
Right.
Like, especially, that is their full-time job.
Right. Especially the writers who work on TV shows. I mean, you would think that, like, if you were part of a writing team on a TV show with, like, multiple episodes, you would be getting a regular check for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure if you were, like, a movie, you know, writer, the pay scales, the payment is probably kind of different, you know, so.
Depending on how big the movie is and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But you would think that, you know, if you got, like, say, you know, hired to write on The Simpsons, for example, like, you would be getting, like, pretty regular paychecks for that. But it's like, you know. So I would find it very disturbing if people like that are not getting enough money to support themselves and their families and whatever. I mean, that would be completely ridiculous. Like, you know, it's like, how are you churning out, like, 20 something episodes every year or whatever it is? And these people are not getting paid for all the scribbling they're doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I scribbled all those scenes for Bart to, like, do this, that, and the other. It's like, how come I'm not getting more money for this?
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly that. So, again, we'll see what happens. But I'm on the union side.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if we're really fortunate in the next few weeks, something will happen that will end this, you know, before the fall. Well, I mean, okay, to be fair, some of the fall schedule stuff is already messed up as it is. Because normally they would start filming at least the first few episodes now.
Soon, like within, toward like next month-ish, they'd be starting to come together.
Yep. Yeah.
Not going to happen as of right now.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully when this, you know, the strike will end sooner rather than later. And we could do like a follow up just discussing exactly what some of the terms they ended up agreeing to came out to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you know, we're not union members, so we won't, like, know every little nitty-gritty detail, but we'll definitely be looking up, like, what are the major things that got put on the table that the union is eventually going to vote on, whether they agree and approve of all the terms, et cetera. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But this is big in Hollywood.
Yes, it is. And there are some international, you know, like, acting unions or whatever that are, you know, standing in solidarity with SAG. that I saw. So that's pretty awesome too.
Yeah, I mean,
because this affects the whole world. You know, this isn't just America. You know, because actors from all over the place, you know, come to the U.S. to work, and they're not going to be able to. So this affects like the whole world of acting, unless you're like a tiny little, or not tiny, that's a wrong way to phrase it. But if you're only known in like your country or whatever, and you're a part of like the smaller unions or whatever, then I don't think it'll affect you. But, you know, these bigger actors that are from all over, you know, are either part of SAG-AFTRA or, you know, work along with Hollywood, and they're not going to be able to. So I'm interested to see what happens. Did you like what you heard on our episode today? Well, then feel free to come back and listen to us again. You can find us on all different streaming sites, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Spotify, you name it, we're there. And if you really like us, feel free to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Three Fates Decide. That's THREE Fates Decide. You can also email us at threefatesdecide@gmail.com and check out our website at threefatesdecide.com to find other episodes, information about your three hosts, and all of our other links. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Three Fates Decide.
Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favorite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new book trivia podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.